Hi, everyone. My name is Ellen Mayer, and you're listening to Illinois. It's a podcast answering your questions about the Illinois state government, how it works, how it doesn't work, and how it impacts your life. This is the very first episode. I'm a journalist, but that doesn't make me an expert in local politics. In a lot of ways, I'm just an average constituent in the state of Illinois. Over the past year, I've been trying to engage more with my state government, but I've had a lot of trouble finding the information that I need to get started. I've noticed that local political news tends to be aimed at insiders, people who already know the lingo and the context and the history of our state government. But I don't know those things, and I don't think that I'm alone. So I'm making Illinois for the rest of us. Moving forward, this show is going to be built entirely around your questions about our state government. But this week, and this week only, I'm digging into a question of my own. What exactly does the Illinois Attorney General do? I've been wondering about this for a little while, because our current attorney general has been in the news a lot lately.
Political story, and it is a stunner. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan announcing that she will not run for re-election next year.
You might already know that 2018 is an election year, and that our state's primaries are coming up in March. So that means Illinois voters need to decide who they want to be our next attorney general really soon. But I don't think I can decide who is most qualified for the job until I know what the job is. So I asked my friend Hannah Meisel to help me out. Hannah is a reporter for a legal news service called Law 360, and she's based in Springfield, our state capital. Before I jump into this interview with Hannah, I want to give you a really quick glossary of terms that you'll hear us use in our conversation. So here we go. Like the federal government, we have three branches of government in Illinois. The executive branch, which is the governor and his office, the judicial branch, which is the courts, and then the legislative branch, which is made up of the state Senate and the state House of Representatives. Put together, those two pieces of the legislative branch are sometimes referred to as the General Assembly. Okay, now that we've covered that, let's get on with it. So, Hannah, my first question to you is, could you give us the basic job description for the Attorney General in Illinois?
Basically, the Attorney General is the state's chief legal officer. The AG is charged with representing the interests of the state and citizens. And you can really break down the responsibilities of the Attorney General in three areas. So first, you're going to act as the state's lawyer, file lawsuits, litigating those suits, and then also acting in the state's defense when the state or its officers are sued. Second, the Attorney General advocates for issues on behalf of its citizens. And then third, you work with the General Assembly to legislate things that the Attorney General's office feels should be codified, put into law.
So you just gave us this really helpful kind of three-part definition of the AG's job description. And now I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind kind of walking us through each of those individually. So the first one that you mentioned was that it's the AG's job to act as the state's lawyer, which means filing lawsuits on behalf of the state and also acting in the state's defense. So how does this actually work in practice? Like, what kinds of suits does the AG file?
She's going to file all kinds of suits, but a lot of ones that we see most frequently are environmental. There's also fraud or product liability if a company is knowingly doing bad acts. And then there's also bad employment practices. Mm. So these suits are going to come from the public a lot of the time. The AG's office has a number of hotlines or, you know, people who go on the AG's website and want to report, something that they're involved with that they basically want to tip off the AG's office, or they want the attorney general to come advocate for them in court.
I mean, is the attorney general actually in court herself litigating these suits, kind of arguing before a judge or a jury, or is it members of her office?
So So she's going to be rarely in court herself. On huge cases, it'll be her direct deputies arguing, but in smaller cases, it'll be any number of attorneys from the AG's office, because there are literally hundreds of lawyers in the AG's office.
I didn't know that.
It's a very big agency, because they handle a large number of cases from throughout the state, and you have to remember Illinois is a huge state.
What does she do then if she's not in court herself?
She is going to be helping formulate the big picture arguments and the priorities of the AG's office. She's, of course, the face of the whole entity because she is herself the attorney general, and, you know, the buck stops with her. And, you know, she's also just going to be managing people. The job of any big boss is more managing people than you ever might think.
So we've covered kind of the first piece of this job description, which is what it means to act as the state's lawyer. And the next piece, which it sounds like is very related, is advocating for kind of issues on behalf of citizens of Illinois. So you already talked about the fact that these lawsuits that the AG brings to court are often initiated by people coming through her office. What are some other ways that she's able to kind of advocate on behalf of citizens?
If we're talking explicitly not in court, you know, you don't necessarily have to file a lawsuit to be an effective lawyer, because sometimes just a threatening letter will do the job. You know, if you have been operating under the assumption that no one is watching you, and then you get a big scary letter where it says, no, we're definitely watching you, then hopefully that will change your behavior before a lawsuit even has to be brought.
And probably a letter coming from the attorney general holds a lot of weight.
Yes, good hope.
So the third piece of the job description, which you also just referenced, is actually working with our state legislature to legislate things, to turn things into laws. So how exactly does that work? Is she able to actually draft legislation herself, or is she just kind of lobbying the state senate or the state house and hoping that they will kind of take on that cause?
Once the attorney general's office has decided that there is an issue that they really feel like there needs to be a new law to address it, they are going to find allies in the General Assembly. And, you know, those people are going to probably have a proven track record. And then, yes, the attorney general's office, they will draft legislation. And, you know, actually, I don't know if everyone knows this, but it's something that I learned when I started covering this. It's that most lobbyists also draft legislation.
Oh.
That is a huge thing that lobbyists do.
Okay.
And so, you know, in this way, the Attorney General's office acts as both a lobbyist and as the legal advisor to a bill.
So one of the things that you mentioned there that we could kind of put forth as a fourth part of the job description is that the AG's job is also to act as a legal advisor for the governor and for the state legislature. So if they just have a legal question, they might come to her. If they're wondering, is this law we're trying to pass constitutional, they might come to her.
Right, because you don't want to pass a law and then immediately it gets taken to court, and then that process takes 2 or 3 years to even find out if it's constitutional or not. And you know what? I want to say a fifth part of the attorney general's job description. It's something that's a little bit more recent within the last decade. And it's, I wouldn't say unique to Illinois, but it's stronger in Illinois than other states. So Illinois has Open Meetings, Open Records Acts. You know, in other states, you might hear them referred to as sunshine laws or FOIA. So the attorney general's office is going to also act as the public access counselor. So if you, as a journalist, you know, file a FOIA request for documents and we are getting stonewalled by the agency from whom we're requesting, we can call on the attorney general's office to advocate on our behalf.
So for those of you keeping score at home, we've come up with 5 major pieces of the attorney general's job, which I think speaks to the fact that it's pretty complicated and broad reaching. Now, what I'm kind of curious about is, what are the actual job qualifications? Like, who is allowed to become attorney general?
Per the state's constitution, the only legal requirements for the job are that you have to be a U.S. citizen, at least 25 years old, and have been an Illinois resident for 3 years. However, since the position is a legal one, you should probably also be an attorney, and it also helps to have held previous public office.
So that's a piece that has been really surprising to me in learning about this position, is that even though it has the word attorney in the job title, attorney general, you don't actually have to be a trained attorney to hold this position. So speaking of attorneys in the world, something that has been also kind of confusing for me that I'm guessing might also potentially be a little confusing for the audience is, I'm not sure I totally understand what is the difference between attorney general and state's attorney, and then the difference between state's attorney and district attorney. So could you clear that up for us?
Oh, yeah. I think this is like a huge, very common confusion. So district attorney is actually not a term that we use in Illinois. If you are an American human, you have probably watched one or more episodes of Law and Order. And so, in New York, they're always talking about the DA this, the DA that. But in Illinois, we actually have state's attorneys. Same thing, just different name. State's attorneys are elected county by county, and they are in charge of all things criminal law in their county, whereas the attorney general handles mostly civil law. Of course, there's going to be overlap and, sometimes they work together, but they are independent because, again, both of these positions are elected.
Right. And so just to make sure we're all clear, including myself, what is actually the difference between civil law and criminal law?
So every lawsuit that you're ever going to hear about is going to be either a criminal lawsuit or a civil lawsuit. Criminal lawsuits establish if someone is guilty of some sort of criminal act. A civil lawsuit is a lot more wide-ranging, and it'll often establish amounts of money that people are owed for damages or injunctive relief, saying, you did this bad thing, Company A, so I want you to change your practices, etc.
Okay, so I live in Cook County, so my state's attorney, not district attorney, my state's attorney is Kim Fox, and her job is to focus on criminal law in Cook County. And Lisa Madigan, who is our current attorney general, her job is to focus on civil law across Illinois. So one thing that I just want to point out as a potential reason for my confusion is that state's attorney has state in the name. So that makes you think that it would be a state position, but the attorney general is the one that's elected at the state level.
It is confusing because, like you said, it's right there in the name. But state's attorney and attorney general are going to both deal with state law, whether it be criminal or civil law, just as the U.S. attorney general and U.S. attorneys that are appointed, they deal with law at the federal level.
Okay, that actually is very helpful for me. I think that was the missing piece in my comprehension of this whole thing, is that even though Kim Fox, my state's attorney, only has jurisdiction over a county, she's still dealing with state law. So you also just mentioned that we do have U.S. attorneys who are working in the realm of federal law, and we have an attorney general at the federal level. So that's another layer of confusion. So what is the difference between the attorney general for Illinois and the attorney general of the United States?
Yes, very confusing because same name, obviously, different job. The Illinois attorney general is one of 6 state constitutional officers, the others being governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, comptroller, and treasurer. And they're all supposed to be basically co-equal. Mm. Like, yes, the governor is the head of the state, but, no one is anyone's boss. Whereas the attorney general on the federal level is actually part of the executive branch of government. And so he or she serves at the president's pleasure, meaning it's a very partisan position.
Now, here in Illinois, you know, if you look at your ballot to vote for attorney general, you're going to see that they are divided by party. There are candidates running as Democrats and there are candidates running as Republicans. So doesn't that mean that this is also a partisan position at the state level?
So, yeah, you're right. Of course, in the U.S., we live in a two-party country. But ideally, when you are in the thick of your day-to-day work as an attorney general, your decisions won't be based on partisan ideology.
So wait a minute. Why is that? Why is it that? What is it about the attorney general's job that makes it something that shouldn't be guided by ideology?
So something that I've learned is that when you are working within the realm of, you know, of laws that are already on the books, you've got to follow them and you've got to litigate. You can't just wish them away. You have to litigate within them. And so the small incremental decisions that you make when you are in the thick of a case, there's actually, it turns out, not a ton of room for partisan decisions there. Of course, you know, the position is pretty powerful. And so, yeah, you're going to bring an ideological vision to the office and you're going to come with your own individual background and that's going to come through in your campaign. But, you know, in the office, it'll shape big picture things like what you decide to advocate for mm-hmm. and what you decide to go after. But it's hard to be partisan on the little things.
That brings me to another thing that I have been wondering about that I think you've already kind of referenced, but I want to come at it head on, if that's okay, which is, who does the AG actually work for? You know, does she work for the governor? Does she work for the legislature? Does she work for the voters? Or does she work for herself? And I guess the way I'm thinking about that is, who decides what she actually brings to court, what lawsuits she decides to file? Does she get to decide that or does somebody else?
So the idealistic answer, I would say, is that she works for the people. The more realistic answer is that she works for herself. And, you know, your pessimistic or cynical answer is that she works for the political forces at work. But really, it's a mix of all three at times. And, you know, of course, you hope that it's the highest ideal most of the time that she works for the public that comes out on top. But the attorney general has a lot of freedom in deciding what kinds of issues to prioritize. So, for example, Lisa Madigan has done a lot of consumer protection work. She's filed a lot of environmental lawsuits. She's done work to advocate for women, especially women who have been victims of sexual assault. Mm. And these things are largely just because that's what she wants to do. That's who she is, and that's what she campaigned on.
Mm. Interesting.
So, yeah, she does have a lot of freedom in directing her office to her office's resources to those areas.
So something that I've been wondering about is, if we go back to that great job description that you gave us at the beginning of this conversation, you said there are kind of three major pieces of the job. And one piece is acting as the state's lawyer and kind of defending state officials, defending state law. And then another is advocating on behalf of the citizens. But it feels to me like there's kind of a fundamental tension in there in that job description, because what if the citizens of Illinois don't like a state law? Has Lisa Madigan ever kind of encountered that tension?
Oh, yes, definitely. I would say a huge example of this is back in 2013, lawmakers, after fighting for over a year over what to do with Illinois' massive pension debt, they passed a state law that would basically cut payments to state retirees, you know, in an effort to save the state money. After the law was passed, the state's huge labor union sued, and Lisa Madigan had to act as the state's attorney and defend the law. She was doing her job as the state's attorney general. That's what she was doing, and it made thousands of state workers and state worker sympathizers very, very angry.
Okay. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for being on our inaugural episode of Illinois.
I'm so glad to be here. This was really fun.
We did it. Thanks for listening to this episode of Illinois. Don't forget that the primaries are coming up on March 20th. There are two Republican candidates running for attorney general and eight Democrats. That's a very crowded field. So I have some homework for you.
head over to illinoispodcast.com and you'll find a list of all the AG candidates and some resources to help you learn more about each of them. While you're on the website, please also send me your questions about how our state government works. Your question could become the next episode of this podcast. Maybe you're wondering about your representative's voting record, or maybe you're just trying to figure out who your representative is. No question is too big or too small, too silly or too serious. Again, our website is illinoispodcast.com. That's Illinois with an E. This show is produced by me, but I have a lot of help. The podcast artwork is by Kayla Ginsburg of The Radical Stitchery. The theme song is by Jacob Chaparro of The Broken Nose Collective. Danny Kalasik from Skyboxer Productions very generously shares his studio space with me. Other behind-the-scenes help came from Daniel Kisslinger and Cher Vincent. My name is Ellen Mayer, and I'll see you next time on Illinois.